make heads up here. Okay. I always got to do this stuff. One more thing. We'll catch up here in a second. Okay. We're almost there. Okay, okay. All right, if you guys want to stand, we're just going to dive right in.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies, if you're trying to feel same old holes inside, it's a better life, it's a better life. If you got pain, it's a pain taken. If you feel lost, it's a way maker. If you need freedom for saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, we've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. And we've all run to things we know that just ain't right. And there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, it's a pain taker. Feel lost, he's a waymaker. If you need freedom, saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify.
Wow. I've heard thousand stories of what they think you're like. I've heard tender whisper of love, been dead of the night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father, to you are, to you are, to you are, loved by you, to I am, to I am.
To you.
Everyone lose long someone they love long before it was the time. Feel like the days yet were not enough when you said goodbye. All of the people, burdens and pains keeping you back from your life. That there's nothing, there is no one who can make it right. There is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, love for the broken heart. There is grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing, meet you wherever you are. Cry all their faith in love. They've done all they can to make it right again. Still, it's not enough. For the ones who can break the addictions and chains, try to give up, but you come back again. Just remember that you're not. There is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, love for the broken heart. There is grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing, meet you wherever you are. Cry out to Jesus. When you're rest.
Times like we just went through and like so many go through every day, it's a common occurrence. You know, there's things that we go through, and it's in those times that we can cry out to Jesus and know that he hears and know that he is able, and that he says, you know, bear you one another's burdens. And we can feel the strength of the Lord in those, you know, who are lifting us up before the Lord for strength and for that grace and mercy in the time of need. He is the one who is able to do that and to get us through whatever situation it is that we face in life. And I'm so thankful for that, and so thankful for our brothers and sisters in the Lord. You know, that's one of the ways that the Lord said that we would know that we were Christians, is that love that we have for our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And that is something not to be taken lightly or taken for granted, but it is a precious, precious thing that the Lord has given to us, his great love, and his great love expressed to us through our brothers and sisters in the Lord. I want you to know how much that we really do love you, and how much that we appreciate you, and how much we felt the strength of your prayers. May the Lord bless you this morning.
All right. Do it, just follow up. All right. Well, we have been on the ashes of a red heifer for a couple weeks, but sometimes your motorboat gets changed course. So the motorboat got changed course. I'm going to say some things over the next several weeks that I hope is shocking and eye-opening, and amen. Amen, brother. The harps of glory. You know, sometimes the Lord just, I guess, changes your direction, rattles your cage, whatever you want to call it. Because I want us to see. And I'm going to tell you what. You're going to hear things from this pulpit that you're not going to hear from just about any other pulpit in the world, especially here in the United States. Tim was right. I mean, this country's worth fighting for. It really is. And we as the church play a vital role in the course of history. I'm calling this We the People. Here's just a quick question. Where did I get this title from? Does anybody know? We the People? That's exactly right. And I'll just throw this out there. Do y'all believe that that's a good document? I mean, do you think it's worthy of, I mean, I really do, guys. And I know you think, well, this doesn't have nothing to do with the church. Guys, the Constitution was written so that we could have the freedoms and the liberties that we have this very day. It really was. We the people. And it's been encroached on and stomped on. And that Constitution may have been written in the ink of Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin and all those people, but it was written in blood. And I'm going to tell you what, it was written in the blood of Jesus Christ. Why do I say that? Because he died so that we could be free. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith you've been made free. Have we been made free? And we got a document that says we've been made free and those freedoms shall not be infringed upon. And I got to ask you, how many of you feel free? So something ain't right. Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I don't know who the Lord is, and I will not let Israel go." Who is the Lord? This is a question that was just came to me so strong. Who is the Lord God that we serve? Who is he? I mean, is that a fair question? I mean, what is the view that he's given in the church? Jesus says, "Who do men say that I am?" Oh, some say you're Jeremiah, some say you're Elias, some say you're other prophets. Well, he gets right down to the point. We just read on past it. Well, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who is he? Paul said, "All that I might know him." Did Paul not know him? I mean, what did Paul mean? I mean, do you ever just pull something out and it stands up on the page? Do you know who Jesus is? And when I say, do you know who he is, do you really know who he is? What kind of person is it? What kind of person is God? What do you mean, what kind of person is God? God is spirit. Let me tell you something. Emmanuel, God manifested himself here in the earth in the person of Jesus Christ. So we got something we can look at. Let me ask you. Here's a dumb question. Of all that you think that God is he greater than that? I mean, honestly, I'm honest to goodness, do we really believe he's greater than what we think he is? Or do we just think he's great, whatever our word of greatness is, and then maybe he's just a little bit? I mean, do you really? I mean, Paul says that you might know what is the depths. How deep does his love go? I mean, how deep does this person go? How high is it? Wow, is it high as the clouds? Is it higher than the clouds? Oh, what about, you know, I saw Venus in the sky last night. Is it beyond that? I mean, you know, we're just, you know, here's how we'll do it. Oh, I love you, baby, to the moon and back. Is his bigger than that? Or is it stop at the moon and come back? I mean, you know, this is a reference. I just want to know, is he greater? Well, here's something. See, you won't really know, and we tell you all these things, and you know all these things, but I don't. I'm going to challenge you. I really am. I mean, you think you've been challenged. I'm going to challenge you. Because let me tell you something. Why is it important to know who he is? Because you'll never know who you are until you know who he is. And everybody says, "Oh, I know who he is," but then they act like a bunch of little wimps. Well, obviously, you don't know who he is if you act like a little wimp. I'm just telling you. When you see him in his greatness, I mean, I want to stomp and run. I mean, I do. I just. And what does he tell us to do? Go make disciples. What the heck is that? Why would you want to go make disciples?
What the heck is a disciple? Oh, we give you a class on discipleship. How many of you, has anybody ever had a class on discipleship? Well, on six Thursday nights down at the church, and lo and behold, you got your little card and you're a disciple. What the heck? And you know, people do this stuff. I'm just coming at it. You know, they try to give credentials out, and Paul says, do I need commendations of you? Do I need a plaque on the wall that says, I've been made an ambassador, a preacher of the gospel, made so by the Lord Jesus Christ. Do I need a piece of paper from you? I mean, you know, talking to a friend of mine, they said, we'll take your credentials. I'll tell you what, if you give them, you can have them. But the credentials I have, I didn't get from man. So if you can take what God has given, knock yourself out, buddy. I mean, that's just the way I feel about it. If it's a piece of paper on the wall, what's it say? The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. It didn't say the gifts and callings of men, because they'll try to take everything you got. We call it Indian giver. When I was a little boy, that's what we called it, you know, Indian giver. I'm going to give you this until I don't like you anymore and you ain't my best friend no more, and I'm going to take it back. You know what I mean, Joe? Yeah, Indian givers. Let God be true and every man a liar. So we're going to look at some of these things. What does it mean to be a disciple? What the heck does that really mean? Why? What's the purpose of it? How are they to function? What's it mean to be a royal priesthood? How many in here is a part of the royal priesthood? Or I'll say this, who's not? What the heck does it mean to be part of the royal priesthood? Is that just a word? Is it just give you a piece of paper with a card on it that says, hey, I'm a card-carrying member of the royal priesthood of God? Because people do it. I'm a card-carrying member of the Democratic Party. I'm a card-carrying member of the Republican Party, Democratic Socialists, whatever. I got my card. Well, I'm a card-carrying member of the royal priesthood. What the heck does that mean? Are we the body of Christ? What does it mean to be the body of Christ? How are we supposed to live and function? Do we have anything that we're supposed to do, maybe? I don't know. What are we to do? I've asked this question a lot of times. What are we to do? What's all this about? Why are you here? Why are we here in this time, in this generation? Was it an accident? What are we supposed to do? And I just throw this out there at you. I mean, if you had to describe God, 99% of the people in the church will say, well, God is love. And I got to ask you, is that wrong? Well, no. But what does that mean? The Lamb of God. Well, let me tell you something. He's not just a lamb. He's a roaring lion. Have you ever experienced him as a roaring lion who couches, who devours his prey, who roars, and the whole jungle bows at his feet when he roars, that puts fear in men? Is this God, or is he just a little passive lamb? Which is it? Is he both? Is he more? Now let me ask you a question. If he's a lion, do y'all believe he's a lion? Do you believe he's a roaring lion? When I say that and you say, well, that's scripture, what do you mean by that? He's a roaring lion. A mighty lion. What does that mean? Here's a question for you. Does he throw down nations? I'm just asking. Does he throw leaders down and raise leaders up? Does he do that? Does he still do it, or is he just the little lamb? I just wonder. Because in the church, he's a little meek and lowly lamb who doesn't roar anymore. And I mean, we don't know who he is, mighty to save. What do you think, mighty to save? What does that mean? When I think of mighty, I don't think of a little lamb. I think of a roaring lion that, you know, one smack of his paw and your whole head comes off. Is that who he is? Let me ask you a question. Does his name strike fear in men anymore? At one time, his name struck fear in men. Oh, we know you serve the God of Israel. and we don't want nothing to do with y'all. Does his name strike fear in the United States anymore? Why is that? Does it have anything to do with the church, you reckon? I would say it has everything to do with the church. You know, there used to be a time when people in the world knew, well, Teddy goes to church, and they would get around Teddy, and they would think, well, I'm not going to cuss because I don't want to offend him, because in offending him, I might offend the Lord. Do people care anymore? No, they'll, you want them old church, you want them crazy radical people. We need to get back to being crazy radical people, I'm telling you. We need to get back, Gene, to being crazy radical people. See, I told you I had my cage shaken up this week. You ever get your cage shaken up? I'm going to tell you some of the things that's happened in the church, and you don't realize the subtleties of it. It's why I stomp my foot and I want to jump up and down and say, wait a minute, because I know what's going to be preached in these other churches in Tazewell today and all across the United States. Oh, well, hurry and get saved. Get your little cart so you can go to heaven when you die. Is there anybody willing to fight anymore? Is there anybody willing to stand up? Do you know you've been, I mean, me and Tim, though, we've been in the military. Why did we go in the military? For an education. We went for war. Education was secondary, am I right? We went for war because we believed in something. Don't you know the body of Christ has been called to war? Have you not? The weapons of our warfare, so there's a warfare, are what? Mighty through God. To the pulling down, to the smashing, the trampling under feet, the strongholds, every high thing that exalts itself against the name of God. We got a church that wallers in the floor and says, rapture me out of here. I don't want to be a fighter. Well, you know what I say to that? Go home. That's what he said in Deuteronomy, wasn't it? Go home. Don't let your fear come in here, because not in this building, not in this place. I'm kind of glad in a way that all the other wimpies can meet out in another place, because I don't want the fear spreading in here. We need mighty warriors. I mean, can you understand? Here's a question for you. Throw it out there. Is this the end of time? Everybody says it is. I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm just asking. So everybody gets their bellies all in an uproar. It's the end of time. It's the end of time. What if you was living in Germany in 1938? Would it have been the end of time for you? Pretty close, wouldn't it? Pretty close. Let me ask you another question here. Who's the Antichrist? I mean, there's a lot of books written on the Antichrist, when he's coming and what he's going to do, what he's going to look like. Hey, he's going to be blonde-haired, blue-eyed, I guess. I don't know. I mean, you know, all the TV shows I watch on him, he's going to be a good-looking white guy. You know, and he's going to come and deceive everybody. He's not going to have tattoos all over his forehead that says, hey, I'm the Antichrist. I got a question for you. Who in the church would recognize him anyway? Would anybody in the church know who the Antichrist is? And I will tell you exactly what the Apostle John said. He's already amongst you. John said, the Antichrist is already amongst you. And I will tell you and all that hears me online, he's already amongst you. Do you recognize him? Has he got blonde hair? I'll tell you, he ain't got blonde hair. He's got gray hair. And he walks like this. And he flies on Air Force One. Oh, kind of slipped out, didn't it? He's not the Antichrist, but he sure does work for him. See, you can't say that, right? Well, I just said it. That whole system is out to destroy you and me. That whole system, it's out to destroy us. And if we don't stand in this hour, we'll reap the whirlwind. So are you with me? I'm blowing the trumpet here. I told you. I'm going to be blowing the trumpet. Because I believe the American church is facing a great change. A great turning point. I believe we're there. I believe we've come to a crossroads. We go this way, destruction. To America, the American church, and our way of life, over. And if you're, I'll say it this way, if you're arrogant enough to believe that it ain't going to happen if you don't do anything, you're crazy. Because I can show you history over and over and over again where people who did nothing were destroyed. It's a wake-up call. Because I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. It's ain't even opened the Bible yet. Well, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you to a time in history, to the 1930s. Y'all know what happened in the 1930s in Germany? And I want to go look at that. So, you know, why do I want to go look at that? So that we don't make the same mistakes they made. When I say they made, I want you to understand there was a church in Germany. Do you ever think about that? Do you just think Germany was full of Adolf Hitler? No. Let me ask you a question. Have you guys ever heard of Martin Luther? Everybody in here heard of Martin Luther? Martin Luther is the father of the Protestant movement, who came out of the Catholic Church, who translated the Latin Bible into German. The churches named after him are called Lutheran. Lutheran is the second biggest church in the world next to the Catholics, as far as Christianity. Well, Martin Luther was a German. So what do you think the main church in Germany was? Lutheran. Pretty good deductive powers. So much so, they even celebrate Martin Luther Day. And you think, well, that's crazy. We celebrate President's Day. We celebrate Columbus Day. We celebrate all kinds of day. They celebrated Martin Luther Day. Justified by faith, Martin Luther said. Justified by faith without works. That's what he said. And the whole church celebrated. So there was a living, active church going on in Germany in the 1930s. I wonder, would they have done different if they could go back? I mean, what do you think? You think they would? And you know, really, for us, it makes it almost kind of even worse because we got a whole lot of history to go back and look on. Pretty plain, you know, when this road has been paved and this road says leads to destruction. Pretty obvious, and you still get on it and you wonder why. What is God? Where is that? Let me read you 1 Corinthians Chapter 10, verse 6. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to read this out of another translation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6. I'm going to read 6 through 12, baby, if you want to put that up there. But I'm going to do it in a different translation because I want you to hear this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6. The same thing can happen to us. Now these things were example to the intent that we should not lust after evil, as they also lusted. So he's talking about them. Now it's Paul talking to the New Testament church here. I think he's talking to the New Testament church. And what's he doing here? He's giving them a warning. He's giving the church a warning. Would y'all agree with that? So is it okay if I give you a warning and I want you to pass the warning on to those you come in contact with? We must be on guard so that we never get caught up in wanting our own way as they did. Because this goes back to the wilderness. They wanted their own way. And what happened to them in the wilderness? They died. Verse 7. We must not turn our religion into a circus as they did. First the people partied, then they threw a dance. You remember what happened? Moses up on the mountain in the presence of God. What did they do down below? They had the leader, the number one guy, Aaron. He's the main poobah. He's the Pope. What's he do? I don't know. I just thrown in the gold and out come his calf. And we had the singers and they played and they danced. Because we thought that's what it was all about. I mean, we come into church and you're talking warfare and standing to get all. Oh, no, it's party time. They'll be having a party right down the road here. God help them. Music down low and the smoke machines and the concerts going on. We've been called to battle. We've been called to battle. Verse 8. We must not be sexually promiscuous. They paid for that. Remember, with 23,000 deaths in one day. Now, who's Paul talking to? New Testament church. And what's he doing? Warning them. Oh, brother, we ain't supposed to warn. Our sins have been paid for. Let me tell you something. We've been reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Your sin and iniquity has been forgiven. Now, Paul would say, does that give you the right to go sin again? God forbid. That's what Paul said. Should we sin then that grace may abound? God forbid. He says, you ain't got a clue what you're talking about to even ask such questions. That's the kind of question the devil would answer. You've been delivered for a purpose. What purpose is that? That's what we're here to find out. Verse 9. We must never try to get Christ to serve us instead of serving him. They tried it. God launched an epidemic of poisonous snakes. Y'all remember that? Now I gotta ask something. Who sent the snakes in the wilderness? Who sent them? Who sent the snakes in the wilderness? Anybody know? God did. Can you imagine that? Do you ever think about that? God sent poisonous snakes. He also sent the provision. Make a brass serpent, put it on a pole. And anybody that looks upon it will be healed. Well, let me ask you a question. Let's say you got bit by the poisonous snake, but you said, I ain't looking on the brass pole. What do you think happened? We could pray for you all day long and you're going to die. Am I telling you the truth? Let me tell you something. God has provided one way. And his name is Jesus. There is not another way. There is not another Savior. There is not another King of Kings. He's it. Outside of that is destruction. Okay? That's the way it is. And you know what? He's a roaring lion. God is a mighty lion that does not compromise. He doesn't say, well, you've been pretty good over here. And I think, no, it's Jesus or nothing. And I'll tell you this ahead of time. There is no middle ground. You're either for him or you're against him. Did he say, well, some of them's for me, some of them's neutral? No, he said, you're either for me or you're against me. Do y'all believe that? That's pretty well the way it is, isn't it? You're either for him or you're against him. Verse 11. These are all warning markers. Now these things happen to them, for example. Warning markers to who? Us. In our history books, written down so that we don't repeat their mistakes. Let me ask you a dumb question. Here's a dumb question. How many of y'all support slavery? Anybody? Anybody here support slavery? Probably the stupidest thing that America has ever done, isn't it? I mean, it was cruelty to the max, was it not? Did y'all know that we got worse slavery going on right now than we had in that day? Y'all know that? Y'all know what the cartel is doing in Mexico, bringing these people across the border? These young girls are sex slaves. The young boys are even sex slaves, put in the brothels, having to work to pay off the debt to the cartels to come in the United States of America. Who stands there in New York Harbor? Statue of Liberty, give us all your poor and sick. And so what do? They come over. Can you imagine your granddaughters being sold for sex slaves? Where's the church? Oh, let's just sing louder songs, Gene. We don't want to hear it. Don't tell us about that, because we can't do nothing about it. See, we don't want to think about it, because we're not really here for that. God, just get us out of here. Let's go to heaven one of these days. You know, it don't really affect you until it comes in your own house, does it? You know, drugs wasn't a problem a while back until they came in and destroyed your home. Alcohol wasn't a problem until it came in and destroyed your home, right? We don't care about the rats in your house as long as they ain't mine. Our positions in the story are parallel. They at the beginning, we at the end. And we are just as capable of messing it up as they were. Did you hear that? We're just as capable of messing it up as they was. I used to think, my God, if I would have been in Egypt, Israel, and I would have saw the plagues and come through the Red Sea, I'd have been the greatest believer in the whole world. That's an arrogant, stupid, foolish, dumb question, dumb statement to make. Paul is warning us. We are just as susceptible to mess this thing up as they were. And you know what, guys? We're on the verge of messing it up. But thanks be to God, there is a turning. Verse 12, don't be so naive and self-confident. You're not exempt. You could fall flat on your face as easily as anyone else. Forget about self-confidence. It's useless. Cultivate God conscience. God confidence. Oh, there's my mark. Y'all see what I'm talking about? I mean, if we don't learn to understand these parallels, avoid the same mistakes that they made. How many of them died in the wilderness? They all died, but two. Could you imagine? 2 million people comes out. 2 million people comes out of Egypt by the mighty hand of God. And only two. Joshua and Caleb make it into the land? Only two. How many? One, two. Not three, not four. Two. Why? Because they failed. Paul writes this. Do y'all believe the scripture is given by inspiration of God? So when Paul wrote that, he was being inspired under the hand of God to warn you and me today of the same consequences, dire consequences. Because I know, and I mean, I've thought, I used to ask these people, and So what is the purpose of the church? What are we supposed to do? And Swanee, what was told me was God is this big arrogant guy in the sky, and if you don't worship him, he'll bust you up. So the church was put here just to worship God. And he said himself, God is not worshipped by man's hands as though he needed anything. You don't need your worship. What the heck? That'd be kind of an arrogant thing, wouldn't it? Why did you have kids? So they could worship me. Right? I mean, is that why y'all had kids? So they could worship me. Well, I'm telling you, it's failing. Amen. It's failing. It's not what it was it? If we don't see the mistakes the German church made in the 30s, I'm convinced we'll reap a whirlwind greater than they did. I don't know. People think, oh, well, this can't happen. See, this is the subtleties. This is the lies of the devil. Oh, it can't happen in America. Yeah, it is. I mean, there was a great, great church in Germany in the 1930s, and they were silent in the face of evil. Do you ever think about that? As I go through this, I'm going to show you, they had a chance to stop Adolf Hitler. Imagine that. Imagine the church had a chance to stop Adolf Hitler, and they were silent and did nothing. Oh, we can't imagine that. We can't imagine that. I'll show you. You know why they didn't? They were more worried about their congregation. They were worried about losing their space. Maybe I'll offend somebody and I won't have a big crowd and I'll lose my church. And plus, the church is not supposed to be in politics anyway. And they let it happen. And I'll tell you what happened to many, many, many of them were taken out back and shot alongside the Jews. Oh, but that can't happen here. It can't happen in the United States. We're not going to have sex slavery in the United States either. I mean, I hate every time I pull up another NFL star arrested for sex trafficking. NFL star making millions, trafficking women, drugs. What the heck? Does these things not make you angry? Or do you just want to put your head in the sand and I don't really want to hear about it? So I don't want, you know, here's what I'll do. I won't watch the news. And if I don't watch the news, it's not real. You know, I've seen little kids do this. You know, a dog comes up and it's a mean, vicious dog and it's going to bite him. What's the kid do? What does that mean? If I don't see it, it's not there. I'm safe. So what does the church do? We're safe. Isn't that crazy? Is the American church now doing the same thing that the church then was doing in the 1930s? Here's the question. Are we the American church? I mean, are we? I would say we are. Are we the body of Christ right now? Are we? I mean, is this only for the clergy? Is this only for elected Christian politicians? Or you know, we're not supposed to be involved in any of this. We're just supposed to go to church and sing our little songs and do our little thing and hug and all of this other stuff. And it's for somebody else, right? I mean, it's always for somebody else. Please, I don't want to do this. You know, I mean, that's... The church, the American church, has become so, so, so self-centered. When I say self-centered, all the services, everything is about your little hard week and your little hard life. Well, let me tell you something. It ain't about you. This is how they'll know you're my disciples. How? That you love one another. And what did he say this love was? What does it consist of? How do we love? Love even if I've loved you and gave my life. I laid down my life. So, I laid down my life, man. I gave him my best coat. I gave him a pair of shoes. I laid my life down. Jesus went to the cross and they put nails in his hands. Real nails. Real nails. They tore his back off and wrapped that cords all the way around him, pulled his flesh off. His guts was hanging out. Beat a crown of thorns in his head so that you and I could have liberty. And it's become nothing. They hung him up on the cross. Do you understand that? They hung him. Did he lay his life down? Well, spiritually, no, he really laid his life down. I've told you about the Fox's Book of Martyrs. I've told you. Well, we look at this and we think, oh my God, well, I don't want to do that. It might cost me my life. Why do you think he raised from the dead? So that you and I could lay our lives down, not in fear. Because I can tell you, this will cost you your life. It'll cost you your life. I mean, do we believe that? Oh, it sounds like you're being a militant church. Is the church not militant? I mean, Ezekiel saw the dry bones come together. He spoke to them. He come together. Well, what did he say? I saw a mighty bunch of little lambs. I saw mighty children. He said, I saw an army. What's an army for? What's an army for? I'm going to tell you what, in the army, there's a big army and there's some special forces, and I think you guys are the special forces. The Navy SEALs, the Marines. Here's a question for you. Has our nation, the nation of the United States of America, been the most blessed nation in the history of the world? I mean, is that a fair question? I would say this, yes. I would say that we are by far the most blessed nation that has ever been the face of the earth. Let me ask y'all, I'm just throwing stuff out there. You know, I'm just, I work and you know, I got a little office up there at Tazewell. Up there at Tazewell, they got this thing called Lilies of the Field. Y'all know what Lilies of the Field is? They give away clothes and stuff, or maybe they sell them, I don't know. And then we got the Goodwill down here. And, you know, you can go into the Goodwill and shop, and they got racks and racks and racks and racks and racks of clothes. You know how many they got in the back? They got enough to clothe whole nations. And what is that? That's our junk. That is our junk. How many pair of shoes you got in your closet? I mean, you wake up in the morning and you're trying to figure out which pair am I going to wear today? The green one, the blue one, the gray one, the red one, the black one? I don't know. I mean, I've got 14 pairs of shoes. And we think, oh, well, it's how many people around the world don't even have shoes? But they're making the ones you wear for 22 cents a day. Do we ever think about that? I mean, you know, I was talking to Zach the other day, and I said, you know, we wear these Nike tennis shoes made in sweatshops over there for people making a dollar a day. You're paying $180 for them. They're made with slave labor, but you look good, and that's all that really matters. You look good. Oh, you can even maybe jump higher, and you can walk more. I mean, oh, yeah, I mean, it's great, yeah. Well, don't tell me about how they're made. I don't care about how they're made. All I care about is me. Look, I feel good. I'm going to wear them to church on Sunday. Woo, yeah, look, oh, yeah. Oh, I've had a rough life. Oh, I've had a rough week this week. You wouldn't believe I was at work, and they said, if you don't start doing your stuff, I'm going to, oh, and it's always, oh, oh. These people around the world, they don't get to throw their food away. They don't have it. You know, I sent some of you guys a copy of an email that Barrow sent me. You know, they're taking the policies that America does here, the stupid policies, and they're mimicked around the world because, man, we've been given a spotlight. So they're bringing in the critical race theory, the transgender, all the stupid stuff over in the Philippines. But they do it a little bit more strong than what we do, because now if a pastor speaks against it, he either goes to jail or he can be shot. Now, how would you like that? You disagree with the state government, you can be taken out and shot. Now, do you reckon the Philippines have liberty? No. But what are we doing about it? Nothing. What can we is what we say. What can we? I'm telling you, we've been the most blessed nation to play a role in the world. I try to tell people, oh, we're called. Why? If you've been given so great a gift, what's it for? I mean, why? Why did you and me have the privilege of being born in the United States of America? Why? Did you choose it? Which one of you in here chose your parents and your place and time of birth? None of you did. You didn't have no more say in you being born here than somebody born in Yemen. America is exceptional, not because we're red-blooded Americans, but because Jesus died at Calvary. And at one time, this great nation acknowledged that. Do you believe that? I mean, they came here to get out from under the persecution of the Church of England so that they could have freedom. America has led the world in making religious liberty paramount. And with that religious liberty, brought in a free government, so to speak. Other countries are opposed to the ideal of political liberty. They don't want political liberty. Do you know our government now doesn't want political liberty anymore? In America, it was the churches that helped encourage and create and sustain a culture of liberty. I'm going to tell you what, where did the hospitals come from? They began because of the church. Where did the great universities come from? The church. The great cultural arts, the church. And now what's happened to our universities? I mean, what's happened to them? What happened? We let them take them. And you know, back, you know, a while ago, we gave our schools up too, didn't we? You say, yeah. Well, they said they took God out of the school. They didn't take God out of the school. We let them. We rolled over and let them. You can walk into that school today with a rainbow flag. And boys can go into the girls' bathroom, and you'll get kicked out if you bring a Bible. Does that sound fair? Does that sound right? That's ground given up. That's ground lost. Right? I'm going to tell you, because of this huge role America plays in the world today, it's bigger than Israel's role was back in their day. What do you mean Israel brought the Lord? Israel was a little speck of a country. And nobody around even liked them. And they didn't really care about it. Do you think the Egyptians thought, oh my gosh, the Assyrians didn't give a hoot about Israel. They was just a little pug town on the way to bigger and better battles. But how's America known around the world? Greatest country ever. Let me ask you this. How many people are still yet today trying to get into the United States versus how many people are trying to get into the Sudan? I mean, do you ever think about that? Why would people still want to come here? Because there's still hope. There's still a dream. At this very moment, there's still hope. There is a dream. Let me ask you a question. How many people are trying to escape the United States and go to Mexico? God, I just want to grow up in Juarez. I can't wait. I long to live in Juarez, Mexico. I mean, you laugh and you think, well, that's stupid. It is stupid. But there may be a time when you wished you did live in Juarez, Mexico, if we don't change the course of history today. This is how serious this is. And we don't learn the lesson of what happened to the German church 90 years ago. It'll be worse for us. But there's always hope. There is hope if we act on it. If we don't, I mean, hope is nothing if you don't do anything with it, right? And all this stuff might be tough for us to think about it. I mean, I know we're so busy. We got jobs. We got eggs to buy and gas to pay. I was watching a guy yesterday. He talked to his mom. Do you know how much 18 eggs cost in the state of California yesterday? $20. $20. $20. Gas, $6 a gallon. $6 a gallon. Dad, how much was that corn you said down there? 2.5 pound bag of corn. Farm Bureau in Richlands. Oh. In a seed book. 2.5 pound. Y'all know how big a 2.5 pound bag of seeds is? About that big. $249, Gene. Maybe dad's making it up, right? Yeah, maybe, yeah. Maybe he ain't making it up. Yeah. I mean, now you think about this, guys. You think about what we're up against. And you know what? I mean, we can beat ourselves over the head because we let this happen. But I'm saying we're blowing the trumpet. And we're changing course. We're changing course. Because this is a sound in the trumpet. This is a warning. If we do nothing, doing nothing and staying the same is doing nothing. You're either for him or against him. But I'm doing this to encourage us, I guess, to be world changers. I mean, if we really believe it. These men went out and brought down the Roman Empire with the gospel. They did. But you know what? It cost them their life. I mean, it did. It did. I mean, we look and we think, oh, thank God we don't live in that time. Well, guys, that time is knocking on our door. That time is knocking on our door. Just like it was 1930s Germany. And I want to say this, our place in the world as America, as the American church, doesn't make us exceptional. God didn't choose us because we were taller than everybody else. He didn't choose Israel because they were great. But God has chosen us by His sovereignty to hold the torch of liberty for the entire world. There is a great statue up there. It's called the Statue of Liberty for all that would come into this world to see. You remember I shared this vision with you. I saw the Statue of Liberty. You remember I was telling you the vision. And if you see the Statue of Liberty crumble, you know, this was horrible. And I didn't know until last night what the vision meant. You know, you can have a vision 2 or 3 years ago and the Lord will give you the vision. The Statue of Liberty standing, the Lord told me it's up to you. It will stand. If you do this, if you do nothing, it will fall. How prophetic is that? We want prophetic. God wants all this and this and this. And God says, here it is. It's plain as day. You do this, you will continue. You do nothing, you won't. And this idea, I want you to think about it. This idea that God has charged us with, the sovereignty and liberty, it ought to make us tremble. Do you think about that? Let me ask you a question. I hope this doesn't go against everything I said, but I mean, you know, nobody trembles before a lamb. But if you stood before the Lion of the tribe of Judah, that'll make you tremble. That'll make you tremble. And when I say a lion of the tribe of Judah, I want you to get out of your minds a circus lion. Because that's the first thing we think of is a circus lion. Because how many of y'all have seen a lion in the wild? A circus lion stands there and the master's got the whip. And boom, he says boom, and he jumps up on a bucket. And boom, and he gets down, and boom, and he jumps through a hoop. And wow, look at the great, mighty king of beasts. I'm talking about the lion that when he roars, the jungle trembles. I'm talking about that one. And this one has charged us with this duty, with this task of liberty. Paul said, stand fast in the liberty. This is huge. Stand in it. Don't be moved. You know what that means? Don't be moved. This is our ground and we ain't backing up. Wherewith you've been called. What does that mean? You've been called to liberty. I mean, if we can't carry out this huge task, this huge responsibility, anyway, prideful. I mean, he has said in Revelation 3:8, behold, I set before you an open door. What does that mean? What does that mean? You got to open. I mean, this is what we tell our kids. I want to get this down out of the clouds and bring it back down into something. When you say, well, how many of you heard this? One door closes, another one opens, right? We say that. And what do we mean when there's an open door set there? What do we mean? It means you got a great opportunity. Is that what an open door means? And Jesus Christ has told the church, behold, I've set before you an open door. I've set before you, church, you the body of Christ, the most awesome opportunity in the world. You can be the beacon of liberty for the creation, which groans even to this day. I'll ask you, do you hear the groan of the creation? Probably not. You know why? Because we're too busy. He says, study to be quiet. I mean, can you hear the groans of the little babies being aborted in the wombs? Can you hear that? Does God hear it? Does God hear the little babies being sucked out of a mother's womb? Does he hear the cries of that baby? You're his body. And if you be still, you'll hear those cries. Paul says, the creation groans and travails, waiting for what? You. And when you hear that, it'll shake your world. It will shake your world because he hears it. All them young women down there in Texas being prostituted out, being sold in slavery. I mean, how would you feel? I mean, you know, we got young mothers in here that's got little kids that are in the back. These people are selling kids 5, 6, 7 years old. Have you heard the lion roar? He's roaring. Will the church hear and respond? Because these things, brothers and sisters, ought not be. All power, all authority in heaven and in earth, Jesus said, is given to me. And I give it unto you, and it's set before you this open door. And what does the church do? Waller in the floor. While creation groans. That's pitiful, isn't it? I set before you an open door. Greatest opportunity, an opportunity that was paid for by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the one who they pounded the crown of thorns in his head, hung him on a cross, stripped naked, beaten to a pulp. This was the price that was given to us, paid for, so that we could have this opportunity. And what do we do? Oh, don't bother me with it. I'm too busy. I'm too busy. I don't have time. I mean, do you realize? Do you realize what I have to do every day? And when I come home, I mean, I want to watch TV. My favorite show's on. Gosh, I don't have time to get into scriptures. I don't have time to worry about the women in Texas. Who cares? Maybe the church in Texas will do something. It's not for me. I've got a tough day tomorrow. I don't have time for this. Pray? Who has time to pray? I don't have, well, God, I'll give you 2 minutes. 2 minutes, that's it. 2 minutes. That's a lot. He says, I've set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. Now, no man, who does that mean? That means no man. That means no policy of man, no Joe Biden's stupid Democrats, no Zelensky's, no Putin's, no none of them can shut this opportunity that's been given us. Do y'all believe that? Or is it still up here in the clouds? Because I want to get it out of the clouds and bring it right down here to us. Because the church has done, they took everything and put it up here in the clouds. Oh, a door, I'll go to heaven. Well, woo, yeah. Meanwhile, the creation has grown. Little babies are being sucked out of mother's wombs. Little girls are being sex slaved out. You know, we ain't supposed to talk about it, Epstein Island, are we? How many of the great, mighty, rich men have flew on planes down there to this island to have, you know what, with all these little girls and women? Men that have been our presidents. And what happened? We don't even want to put the list out. Oh no, we got to cover this out. I'm talking people in royalty, the British family, all of them involved. Who does anything about it? You know what? We should speak against it. We should make our voices known and speak against it. Should we not? Is it okay? I just read to you about their sexual sins and the serpents and how many died and all that other stuff. Why? So that we would learn, so that we can learn from their examples not to do the same thing. And I told you, doing nothing You're being silent in the face of evil, which means you're for them, because you're either for them or you're against them. Should we aspire to be a shining city on a hill? I mean, should we? Should we desire that? A beacon in a dark world where they can look and say, if I can make it there, I will have liberty. And I don't want you to think that this liberty was free. This liberty wasn't free. It's still not free. It's a free gift. I love what Abraham Lincoln said. He run up that flag and says, we'll put up this flag and it's up to you to keep it up. This great government you've been given. And what's he say? What Ronald Reagan said, you're one generation away from tyranny. One generation away from tyranny. This great liberty that we've been given. I mean, what do they call our culture today? What's its name? Cancel culture. That's what they call the culture of today. Cancel culture. Do y'all believe that? The very words that I'm saying may be shut down on YouTube and internet. Who knows? Who cares? Now, is that liberty? I mean, what is the First Amendment? Anybody know what the First Amendment is? Huh? Free speech? I will run all y'all out of here if y'all don't know what the second one is. Because if y'all don't know what the second one is, Joe, y'all got to leave. Free speech, yeah. I'll show you what the second is. I mean, do y'all believe in that stuff? Is that not liberty? I mean, is it not? I mean, this document that was based on, these ideas coming to them from the church to write this. And what that We the People document was stating was this. What it was stating, let me tell you what it was stating. It was saying that we recognize y'all, you the people, as free. And what the Constitution does is restrict the overreach of the government into your liberties. That's what the Constitution was for. See, we're not a democracy. We're a republic bound by the Constitution, of the Constitution of which says, I will not interfere with your liberties. Now, I know when they say, and I will explain it again, they say we got to have separation of church and state. What Thomas Jefferson was saying was the federal government will not overstep its bounds and interfere on your religious freedoms. So in other words, if you want to preach the gospel in school, you're free to preach the gospel in school, and the government has no right to step in and tell you you can't. If you want to preach the gospel in Walmart, you can. If you want to preach the gospel in front of an abortion clinic, you can, and the government has no right. But you know what Satan did and his lies, and the Antichrist come in and says, oh no, separation of church and state, y'all go to y'all's building and we will rule everything else. You know what your church did? Yes, sir. Okay, let's just go over here to our little building. Yes, master. That's what happened. That's where we're at today. That's why we can have boys raping little girls and have the dads of the little girls that are raped thrown in jail when he speaks out at a school board meeting. And it wasn't the first time the little boy did that, was it? They covered it up. Huh. What would you have done if you was the dad? What would you do, Caleb, if you was the mom? That happened to your little kids. Huh. I know what Linda would have done. Linda'd be in jail for a long time. Huh? Yeah. And rightly so. Rightly so. We're not going to tolerate that mess. I can see I'm not going to get through. I'm going to read you a verse here. And then I'm going to have to... I don't even know where we're at. Ephesians 4:1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. With all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. I write in my Bible all the time. And I got a note here, which, you know, sometimes, well, a whole lot more times than not, we see in part. We see in part. And I wrote, wherewith ye are called. And I said, so what are we called for? What's the purpose of our calling? And I wrote here, we're called to see Christ. Okay? Well, that is true. That is true. But then there's a follow-up question. Why? Why are you called to see Christ? And I thought, man, and it's so simple. It's so simple. Let me go to Ephesians 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Remember, this is written here. It was written as a letter, but they didn't have verses and chapters and all that other stuff. Remember, John writes, we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father. No man has seen God at any time, he says. But he hath declared him. He's revealed him. He's seen him. I mean, so we're called to see Christ. Why? And then Paul says right here, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Let me ask you a question. And you guys already know the answer to this. But let me say this. And, you know, it's Kaylin and Linda and other mothers in here. Your children will grow up to be moms by who they see you are. Your kids will grow up to be dads by who they see you are. Because children are imitators of their parents. Are they not? They're imitators. They'll go put on your shoes. They'll put on your hat. They'll put on your high heels. Why do little girls want to wear makeup? Because mommy wears makeup. Before, she just wanted to go play in the dirt and kick a ball and run and jump. But now she looks and says, mommy wears makeup. Oh, I want my fingernails painted. Why is that? Imitators. Paul says, be imitators of Christ, followers of Christ. That's what he says. In all meekness and long suffering and all of these things. So, you know, people want to say, oh, what would Jesus do? Heck with what would Jesus do? He's already did it. It's already done. You don't have to say, oh God, should we pray for the sick? Wake up. Of course, Jesus already did it. Should we lay our lives down one for another? Of course, he already did it. What are you waiting on? Should we have long-suffering and mercy? Of course. Should we take a whip into the courts and run out the money changers? Of course. Why? He's already did it. We're sitting over here praying about things, and he says, be followers. If you've seen him and who he is, now go do it. Be followers means do it. As little children, do it. We come to church and we don't do it. That's why the gospel goes nowhere. We don't do it. He says, be ye followers of Christ. Be imitators of him. And oh, I can hear the thanks now. We can't imitate God. He says, I give you the Holy Spirit. You are not orphans. You have a Father. A Father who is King of all kings and Lord of all lords. What does that mean, Lord? Lord means owner, doesn't it?
You notice I just closed my Bible because I got to stop. Because we didn't get through everything I wanted to get through. This is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. This is how important this stuff is to me. I'm telling you, baby, give me Revelation 17:3, maybe. Oh, we don't have it, do we?
Yeah, it's
there. Did you get it fixed?
Yeah. Is it not coming up?
I might have to look it up. I don't know if it's the right verse. It's probably not the one anyway. Revelation 17:14. That's it. 17:14. And it says, oh, you got it. Yeah. Hey. These shall make war with the Lamb. And the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. They that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Our whole system is a system that is at war with the very culture of God himself. And you're either on one side or you're on the other side. They make war with the Lamb, but the Lamb shall overcome them. I better just quit. I could just go on and on and on and on and on. Because I want you to see this. I pray God will rattle all your cages and wake you up. Because I know right now you're thinking, well, what can we do? Well, just keep coming back. Because there's things that we can do. And I tell you what, if you think prayer is nothing, then we need to have a talk too, because one of the mightiest weapons God has given us is prayer. And if you don't believe that, go read the Psalms. If you want to pray strong prayer, you don't even have to make it up. Just go read the Psalms, Gene. Just open up the Psalm and say, here's my prayer today, Psalm 24. Who is this? Who is this King of glory? Just pray it. Who is this King of glory? Just read the Psalms and say, Lord, here's my prayer today. Psalm 91 is my prayer today. And read it. Read it out loud. Here's something else I learned. Jean always says this. She said, Pastor, if all the people would get together and pray, and I didn't know this, about this guy. And these guys were doing this in the 30s. His name was Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And they had a group of people, even though he was in the United States, they had a set time every day that they would pray. So if one was in New York, and one was in France, and one was in Germany, they knew, even though it may be 8 o'clock here and 7 o'clock here and 2 o'clock here, they synchronized themselves and they all began to pray, and it was great strength and comfort to them wherever they were. I'm just throwing it out. What if we did these things? And boom, at this time, this is our prayer time. And we stop everything else. Abraham Lincoln says that you give him 9 hours or 8 hours to cut down a tree. He said, I'm going to spend 6 hours sharpening the axe. That means he's going to spend a lot of time in prayer. A lot of time in prayer. So, anyway, I'm going to quit.